Moreni, Dumelang, Ewe.
There is another apology, Chair, from Uta Dukale, who is attending Peace and Environment.
Ah, KK. Opelele, KK.
Opelele, Shalom, Janu, and...
Hi, Seapela, Nata, Gabi, Kaur.
Good, Chair.
Let us take this opportunity.
Apologies, on, Chair.
Good members. Yes, Ntate Masipa.
Chair. Sorry, Member Bama is also off sick. Just want to
Thank you. We note the apologies. Let us extend our greetings, honorable members, to the Deputy Minister, the Honorable Lubao Squacha, and the officials of the department
recording in progress
have joined us on this portfolio committee meeting as we are to CPAs. We are pleased therefore to welcome all the officials of the department, as well as the honorable members and guests that are on the platform, especially those that will be leading the proceedings today on the annual report 2019-2020 of the CPA. The annual reports, by their nature, entail a process of reflecting, introspection, compliance, as well as governance and accountability. It presents, therefore, honorable members, both the journey and the destination. It is therefore critical that as you engage in this presentation, that we also reflect and address some of the most pertinent challenges the CPAs have encountered, including the incomplete verification of restitution claims. Some CPAs find themselves functioning with a list of partially verified members, which often creates a problem concerning to the eligibility of omitted members. Also on poor governance, many CPAs do not hold their annual general meetings, AGMs, and therefore committees are not re-elected. Many of these CPAs have limited capacity for effective management of their own finances, and there is no accountability and lack of transparency by the CPA committees. Incomplete land transfer processes, we have often found that there are cases where the transfer of land and title deeds to CPAs has not happened, partly due to disputes and infightings within the CPAs. And there's a real issue of power struggle where there are conflicts and tensions between CPA members and executive committee members. We witnessed this on our oversight to KwaZulu-Natal, where we visited some of the distressed CPAs. These CPAs coexist with institutions of traditional leadership. More often, there are contestations about the roles and responsibility when it comes to such areas. The poor capacity within CPAs to be vehicles of community development. For example, honorable members, the executive members do not have the sound business management skills, as well as skills to decide on land use and community development. While the number of CPAs registered is increasing, the departmental human resources are not increasing to match the growing need to stretch and reach the increased function. In addition to this, honorable members, I would like us to also have the department address the future of CPA in relation to traditional councils, whether it is envisaged that the former will be replacing the latter, as this poses a risk, in my view, given the high degree of dereliction and malfunction. Do we run the risk of replacing functional traditional councils with CPAs and its attendant challenges? This we await to see within the deliberations we'll be having. Finally, honorable members, I would like you, the department, to also address the issue of CPAs that are in the Fifth Parliament Legacy Report, which speak to Rama, Valmastal, Ilanskloof, Riempasmak, Ndlahwari, and Malamala, especially those outstanding issues that are in the Fifth Parliament Legacy Report. And the department knows about these issues, and I'm sure having the Deputy Minister, the Honorable Lubao Squacha, could be able to tease out some of these issues as he was part of the Fifth Parliament. We would now like the department to share some light on these issues, and I would therefore, honorable members, take this opportunity to hand over to the Deputy Minister for his opening remarks, and then hand over to the department officials to take us through the 2019-2020 CPA annual report. Thank you. Over to you, Honorable Squacha.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much to the Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning to our officials. Good morning to the Secretariat. Chairperson, we are meeting on a very, very critical agenda item today. And I think your own opening remarks really comprehend the criticalness of the agenda item as we navigate through our democratic dispensation in our country. CPAs were a tool constituted by the democratic government with the ideal plan of trying to make sure that we take our new country and its democratic ethos to its logical conclusion. CPAs have become an issue that needs closer scrutiny, both in the sense of your own visits and engagement in respective areas, but also our own interactions as a department. You have, just as you concluded, made examples and highlighted in an anecdotal form some of the issues that probably come from the fifth parliament. I think what we are struggling with, Chair, is when the old refuses to die whilst the new is given birth to. We are dealing with a situation of a people that have suffered for so many, many years. And some of them probably do not find it at this time and age to enter the new dispensation. The issue that you are raising about traditional councils versus CPAs is a matter that you should be seized with. It is a matter that the department should be speaking to, but it is a South African matter where the democratic government gives back land to people. But in some instances, that interferes with the issues, like the matter of councillors versus traditional authorities in our area. Having made that point, Chair, I also want to say, as we speak to you here today, we also acknowledge that in some of the instances, there would be areas where, in our own workings in the past, we have given individual claims in communal areas, hence that brings a particular problem. So, Chair, without further ado, I'm saying we are coming here to give a report to you and engage with you so that you can see how best you can be able to go forward. And part of the issues that you have raised are issues that we are going to be attending to. You spoke so eloquently about the journey traversed and the destination we're looking at. Incomplete verification of land claims, etc. Without further ado, Chairperson, I would love to give over to the Acting Director General.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister Squacha. To the Honourable Chair of the Portfolio Committee on Agricultural and Reform and Rural Development and the Honourable Members of the PC, thank you very much for inviting us to give a presentation on the CPAs 2019-2020. The full report has been shared with the Portfolio Committee. What we will do is highlight in terms of the areas that we thought were very important, and we will also respond to the issues that were raised by the Honourable Chair, Honourable Mandela, on the areas that he thinks are very critical in terms of highlighting. The person who will be doing the presentation for today would be Mr. Zulu, and he will take us through the presentation. We also have got the DDG responsible for the program, Mr. Ndove, and we also have got Mr. Sebate, who's currently the person who's dealing with the CPAs directly, and between all of us, we'll be able to respond to the issues that the PC would raise. Thank you very much, Chair. With your permission, may I call on Mr. Zulu to give the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the committee, the Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, the DG and the colleagues. I'm going to take the committee through...
Makeba. Utolo Makeba.
Chairperson.
Asikboni, sibona isihlalo sakho.
I'm saying
you can just adjust your camera. We are okay. Only seeing a chair.
And let me try, Chairperson.
If you can shift your camera towards your right hand side, then we'll be able to see you.
I'm not sure, Chairperson, if now the chair can see.
Yeah, we need you to shift the camera towards your right hand side because we are seeing your left shoulder.
Okay.
There you go. You are right on the center now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My apologies about the Chairperson. I'm going to take the committee through briefly on the report 2019-20, and I would just highlight the key important areas in the report without being line by line. I think the Chairperson has alluded to some of the issues, and the Deputy Minister have also alluded to some of the issues. The outline would just focus on the introduction. I will just touch base on the object of the Act and its application, the obligations that the Act places on the accounting officer, as well as the executive of this association in compliance with the provisions of this particular Act, as well as just highlight on the offenses in terms of the Act which shall not be committed by the persons or members of the association or the CPA, and on the problem statement just highlight some of the high-level problems that the CPAs are faced with. And the background would just zoom into the CPA institution and the breakdown of the problems, their current status in terms of meeting the objectives of the Act, and also we also wanted to just share with the committee the land that is held by these CPAs or these associations across the country, and our capacity requirements and the constraints in the department around the management and providing oversight on these governance associations, the support that we provide in terms of the law and our plans in the department to these CPAs, and the current challenges and what we have planned as interventions in the previous years. In the previous report and the progress that we've made to date. There are three key reasons why these associations are established: is to acquire, hold, and manage property on the basis agreed upon by the members of the community in terms of the written constitution, and to provide for matters connected therewith the association. That is very important, Chairperson and the members, because most of you will see some of the problems that we have or challenges that we have with CPAs is because they tend to go beyond what the Act is meant to do. They were created to do. The application of the Act or this legislation is in circumstances where there is an order from the Land Claims Court to the commission or restitution of land rights to allocate land to or acquire land in terms of the restitution act, and then the court orders the restitution commission to establish this type of an association or subject to the establishment of an association in the form of a CPA, and also to persons or communities who are to receive property or other assistance from the state in terms of an agreement or terms of the law on condition that this association is also or an entity or landholding entity is established in the form of an association, which is a CPA, where the minister is approved in terms of subsection 2 and to which any property has been donated or sold or otherwise disposed by the other person on condition that this an association is established or a CPA is established, or the minister has approved the acquisition of land or land rights, the securing of land rights of persons, of which a group is acquiring on provision that an association is also established to hold the land on behalf of those communities. So before any association or CPA is established, there must be a trigger which relates to an approval of a property to be acquired, to be sold, to be donated, or to be disposed to that particular community. These are the obligations to the DG, who is the accounting officer responsible for the department, but responsible for the overseeing of the oversight over this CPA in terms of the Regulation 17 of the Act, that the every year the DG or the accounting officer must submit to the minister, as you know, that is why we are here today, a report so that the minister on the concerning this association in terms of to which extent these associations are meeting the objectives of this Act. And the minister shall therefore table the report to Parliament. And to the CPAs themselves, the executive, the Act, which we normally omit, and the CPA executive, they normally don't necessarily understand this part, that in terms of the Act, they are obligated, in terms of CPA Regulation 8, whether the department has reminded them, but by obligation, by the terms of this Act, they are compelled to submit annual financial statements or financial reports to the Director General so that they can comply with the Act, hold annual general meetings and submit their reports, update the any transactions or sales or leases or any transaction that they've entered into with a third party, and also to update the list of new members that have been admitted or they have applied and been admitted by the association, and also the list of committee members whose term of office must be valid. That is an obligation that is supposed to be done on an annual basis and a report to the Director General of the department. In terms of this Act, again, these are the offenses. This is what the Act says. If the CPA members or the association itself or a person within the association commit the following breach of the Constitution by granting the rights onto non-members of the CPA, his or her fiduciary duties, breaches the his or her fiduciary duties, abuse power, authority granted to him or her by CPA, incite or attempt to incite any person to commit offenses said above, or grant of the force to grant rights to any person other than a member of a CPA. So we are saying, despite of all these provisions in the Act, these associations still experience many problems as we speak today, as applied in this problem statement. I'm not going to rate bullet by bullet on the high level problems that are faced with by these associations, because some of them, the Honorable Chairperson has alluded to them, and the Deputy Minister also touched on some of them. That we are dealing with communities who are in this association. Communities were formed into an association, and these associations tend to be institutionally complex because they hold and administer land rights of communities lectured by the history of dispossession, forced removals, often with dispersed membership and deep-rooted community-specific divisions. So we put them together to form an association. Obviously, there are bound to be differences and divisions between these communities. And also we have persons who are communities who hold rights. These entities, they hold land on behalf of farm dwellers, persons who have got rights, tenure rights, who are individuals. And most of them, their goal was just to secure their tenure rights on these farms, like farm dwellers and labor tenants, not to enter into business transactions, but to continue with their subsistence farming and continue with their life as normal. As we have said, the issue of CPAs, most of them, they struggle to hold AGMs because the quorum in terms of their constitutions, sometimes they can't find the members to form the quorum to have their constitutions because some of the members are untraceable because they are old CPAs. We have realized that these organizations, they are living organisms, they change with time, and some of the members, they leave, and we have to deal with those challenges when dealing with this problem, when dealing with HIV/AIDS. There are initiative members who just decide or choose not to participate in HIV/AIDS meetings, making it impossible to have AGMs or elective AGMs. And the disputes, as the Honorable Chairperson has alluded to, which relate to incomplete or incorrect verification list, more especially when relates to land claims, because the farm dwellers and labor tenants are persons who are residing on those properties, which is easy to locate them because they are on those farms. Many communal communal property institutions, as the chairperson has alluded to, they remain dysfunctional in terms of meeting the objectives of the Act for a number of reasons, which relates to conflict, disputes among the members, and they also fail to depict or adapt to the realities on the ground to promote what we establish them to do, social cohesion and justice, despite various interventions by the department or state on those particular institutions. As you will see when I present on the intervention, land transactions that are entered into sometimes are lawful. They are not necessarily in line with their constitution and the CBA Act. And some, they take loans, bank loans, and they end up losing the land through their repossession of those properties. As you will see, there are CPAs that now needs to be deregistered, was identified, which now they've lost land through those kind of transactions. This is just the nationally, the breakdown of CPAs that we have across the country, 1,650 as at the end of 2020 calendar year in this particular reporting period. And these are the numbers that you can see on the right-hand side that relates to each province in terms of the registered CPA in the register through Mr. Sibape's office, in his national office. This is just the picture that indicates the compliance of this CPA in terms of the section of Regulation 8, as I said, the submission of those documents to comply with the Act as the obligation of this CPA to do so in terms of this Act. What we have done, looking at the compliance issues, we have done an analysis to go deeper into each one of the CPA. The report outlines per CPA what is happening in each CPA in terms of status. The detailed report that we compiled for 2019-20, and we realized there are those CPAs, as I said in the previous slide, they are compliant. Some are partially compliant, mainly because some of them, they submitted almost all the documents that are supposed to submit in terms of Regulation 8 of the Act. However, you find that there is still a dispute around the membership list because there are some that are complaining that they were left out during the verification process, and you find that the membership list has not been necessarily finalized, and therefore, if you were to talk about compliance, complete 100% compliance, therefore, if they don't meet those five key areas in terms of the Act, they are therefore not 100% compliant. But however, in terms of effectiveness and functionality, they function properly, except that they have not updated their membership. So we have identified those as not bad, but partially compliant because of just one or two issues that are not submitted or complied with. There are some that we have said, in terms of the provisions of Regulation 8, they might not necessarily comply with all of them because they are just tenure security, as I said, mainly the farm dwellers or labor tenants, because the land was acquired to secure their tenure. Life, they just work, they are there, they are residing on the properties, they practice subsistence farming, it's for housing, the business, the life is normal for them, in the, there are no economic activities in those particular farms, but they are functional. They have got their own 2, 3, or 4 cattle. They are residing there. They are operating. They are farming at a subsistence level. They are supporting themselves. Those that are non-compliant, it's clear they are not compliant because of the number of reasons, conflicts, disputes, and they are not complying with those 5 key issues that are raised, which make them compliant. The ones that we have identified to be deregistered, the CPAs which are registered in our database in the registry, but in the report we used never received land. However, they never received land where they were registered, but only to find that the land, there was no land that was transferred to the CPA for a number of reasons. And some of them, they have in their own right, lawfully so or unlawfully, sold the land or they've lost the land through the explanation that I've made. Some of them have entered into bank loans and then the land was taken away from them. There are those that are under judicial administration, which are not necessarily compliant because there are issues that we are dealing with. The administrators are busy sorting out those issues. We have listed those in the report that are currently under administration. There are those that never received land. That is the next category. The never received land means it's different from the one to be registered. The land is pending, so the restitution process is still pending. Or the land, there are 2 which under your land tenure, which I can mention in Mpumalanga, where it's a donation. The process of donation with the mining company is pending while the CPA has been registered, so that there is a structure that will then receive that donated land and the development of the particular piece of land. It's not that they've never received it. The transfer is still pending, the land transfer is still pending to comply with the provision of the Act. There are those that have been referred to the Land Rights Management Facility to deal with, where we have appointed an attorney to deal with the issues for regularization of such CPA. That is why we have what we call monthly or quarterly reviews on those particular CPAs. They are also listed in the main report. This is now, in terms of the previous explanation in the previous slide, now these are the numbers in terms of how many are under judicial administration. There's a breakdown across the provinces. Those that are in under land rights management facility with the attorneys, I think that to sort to regularize them. Those that have never received land, there were 67 of them. To be deregistered is 49. The ones that we said they are non-compliant, which we have defined them, what do we mean by non-compliant. The 45 that we say across the country, they are just food security or security of Kenya. They are just residing there for housing and life is normal. And they are those that will never be compliant because they lost land, etc. And those that are partially compliant under the document. This is the breakdown of the 1,016 that we assessed should be non-compliant across the provinces. These are the numbers, the percentage expressed in percentage of the total of 1,650, the number in terms of the total number of the CPA against those that are that are registered in the particular place. This slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, it talks to the number of the membership per province. What is important here is that you will find that the CPA, the numbers of CPA in a province like Northwest is lesser than compared to Mpumalanga and KZN. But if you look at the membership in the province is high. And also, if you compare it on average per CPA, you find that there are many members of CPA on average, if you look at the slide on the right-hand side. And that is why we then realize that we find that where there are many members in CPA, then there are more, there is more conflict and disputes among the members. Hence, we got a lot of disputes from the Northwest. And also in Gauteng, although in Gauteng there are very few CPAs, but the membership on average is high per CPA, and then also results into too many disputes among the members in those particular CPAs. This is the land that is held by the CPA for 3.5 million hectares across the country, which was when they were created, the land was transferred through restitution to tenure reform and land redistribution programs, or the land reform program, as we know, the three of them. In terms of the human resource that is responsible for looking after the CPAs and oversight at provincial level and national level, you can see Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we are very keen on the ground. If we're looking at the provincial level, there's 120 officials that are responsible for looking after the CPA, the 1,650, and the numbers they increase. The Honorable Member, the Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, you will see in the report in this calendar year that the number of CPAs have increased from 1,650 to 1,684, and the number of officials still remain. But however, the 120 that we are talking about, they are not only responsible for overseeing the functioning of the CPA. They also respond for all the other levels, the implementation of all the other land reform or land tenure reform programs, as we know all of them, in terms of the tenure reform programs. There's quite a number of them. So they are very thin on the ground, and it's something that we as a department, we need to look at so that we can do justice to the CPA, for this association. This is what we provide. These officials at a provincial level, at national level, this is what they are responsible for in summary. And what keeps them more busy is number three, especially the management and support of the CPA, because of the ever-ending conflict and disputes among the CPAs, and also when the CPAs are being registered, the workshops that we during the establishment that the officials would have to embark on. The Honorable Chairperson and Deputy Minister, they've highlighted some of the key challenges that are faced by these CPAs. I'm not going to repeat some of them, but I will just highlight some of them. The number C, more especially, you find that the CPA committee or any member of CPA may unlawfully alienate land in ownership of the CPA without the consent of the CPA. And also there are issues of land administration and management responsibilities with relation to issues of investment development within the CPA, which of course, if you look at the reason, the objects of the Act, I think we're expecting too much from the CPAs to also manage businesses or operating businesses, especially on the CPAs that have economic activities or businesses that are happening in those CPAs. We often have noted that most challenges are coming from the CPAs where they've got minerals, there's mining, there are plantations, there's game, there's tourism, where there is income, there are dividends, there are rentals to be shared, there are proceeds generated in terms of income from economic activities. And then you realize that then the conflict will start because the other CPA members were in the executive, they wouldn't want to leave office and then a consent group will emerge and as an opposition to the current new structure, which is democratically elected by the CPA members. And also the We have also noted that the CPA Act does not necessarily provide for security of tenure of individual members, more especially vulnerable groups, women, youth, and persons living with disabilities, and members in general, because the land is held in common, held collectively, managed on behalf of the members by the CPA executive, and then the shall be other laws that must protect the individual rights or family rights of each of the members of the CPA to avoid any unnecessary eviction of those kind of members. Members will note that we had a similar problem in the operations from the CPA in the Free State, which relates to exactly the point that we are trying to raise under G. The emergency of criminal activities, greed, fraud, and corruption. And I think the members, they know some of those CPAs, like the one that Honorable Chair has mentioned, Rama, in the Gauteng province, which we are dealing with. And the CPA-led invasions, and the legal sale of CPAs. We then, in the report, highlighted some of the interventions that we wanted to embark on as a department to try and address some of the challenges that we've identified. First of all, I will just touch on the first one. We said we have this institution, but we need to do an audit of each one of the registered CPA so that we don't just generalize when we talk about CPA, but we know exactly what is happening in each one of the CPA, so that we are able to address some of the issues, because some CPAs, when they were established, you realize that it was not necessary for those CPAs to be established, because maybe the claim that was supposed to be settled, it was just a family claim or individual claim. But putting those persons together, consolidate those CPAs, then created a problem under a CPA, which then results to this CPA non-compliant. And the training and capacity building, we have then identified it as one of the important areas that we need to deal with, and also the issue of vetting of the CPAs, because some clauses in the CPA constitution are problematic. Some of them are not in line with the constitution in terms of Section 25(6) and other laws that protect the rights and tenure rights of members of such CPAs. And the CPAs that are landless, which you are saying, they need to be deregistered because they are not necessarily meeting the objectives of the Act to acquire, hold, and manage land, because there is no land that was transferred to those CPAs. And also, lastly, Chairperson, my apology on number 10, we said managing these CPAs manually is problematic. We have developed a system which you are busy with, which will help us to manage the CPAs and be able to detect any CPA that whose term of office has expired 6 months in advance, and locate all the systems that relate to the management CPA, all the issues, the processes in a system that by click of a button we are able to get the information about each CPA in the country. This is just the progress on what we have achieved to date on some of the issues that we raised as the intervention. We, safe to say, under number 2, dealing with the issue of capacity and governance issues to the executive, CPA executive and members, we have completed an agreement, we've reached an agreement with the University of Technology, which they are going to help us with the training program, and they are going to do it free of charge. The MOU has been completed and signed by the university. We are supposed to finalize it, and then we start the program of inducting or training the CPA on governance, the new to receive the land, and those ones that have already received the land. The system, we have already developed it. We have already piloted it. We have already uploaded information on some of the provinces. We are continuing to complete that process as well. On the last issue of the audit, we have already appointed aspects that will help us to deal with the audit of the CPA, which will be completed by the end of the next financial year. Honorable Chairperson and the committee, that is our story. We therefore request the committee to note and support the report, the status and analysis of the registered tenant property association as presented. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Makeba, from the presentation of CPAs. Ntate Ramazodi?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. May I request that Ntate becomes in with some of the cases that the Honorable Chair has referred to before we can go into questions, and then the other area of importance was what the Chair had raised, specifically around the tension between CPA and traditional authorities and the work that has been done around that, and Ms. Dandove would give some inputs on that, Chairperson, with your permission. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dr. Ramazodi.
That is what it, please come in.
Thank you, sir. Chair. I've just joined now. I've lost contact for a couple of minutes, so I don't know where we are. I just told the DDG that I've lost the connection. Hello.
Thank you very much, and that is what the Chairperson had previously said. In our presentation, we have got to deal with the issues that were raised in the fifth Parliament report, and that entailed a few areas like Rama, Valmazal, and all of those that we had in the report. And we had indicated that you will respond to those issues, and Ms. Andover would then be responding to the current work that is being done to address the tensions and the areas of concern between the CPAs and traditional authorities. So your intervention now is expected to be around those CPAs of importance that were covered in the fifth report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will just go through, not to give a status quo on what is happening in Rama, Apos Malakhombe, and Pastor Sefer. Those are the main, and then Malamala. Those are the main controversial, if I may say, CPAs that we are dealing with at the present moment. As far as Rama is concerned, Chair, the problem there is some of the people who are occupying the land in Gauteng are actually not beneficiaries. Most of the beneficiaries are staying in the northwest, but Rama is located in Gauteng. Now, there are the people who are running Rama there. It's actually people who they are selling the land. They have sold so far, I think 40% or 60% of the land to outsiders to develop. There is a quarry, there's a contract there, and there's also houses that are being developed. We have consulted with Charnyman, Metro, several times to stop the development there, but it's still going on. Now, the people there are complaining that their land has been sold illegally, and they are asking the government to intervene to get the land. What is happening now is Gauteng province is engaging the communities. The DG has approved that the CPA be placed under administration, so that somebody else other than the factions there should actually run the affairs of the CPA. while dealing with the issue of the land that has been sold illegally, and dealing with the people who are staying there and who are not part of the community, who are not part of the beneficiaries. Now, we have gotten approval to put the CPE under administration. What is outstanding now is for the case to be put to court, on the court roll. We are waiting for the lawyer who has been given the task to go to represent the department in court to come up with a day where the issue will be discussed in court. We are just waiting for that one, Chair, to know what the next step be. So this is where we are about drama. We have got approval from the DG. The case should be in court anytime soon. So that is about drama, Chair. I don't know whether there's any question about that one for now.
Please proceed and finish your input so we can open for questions of clarity from honorable members.
Okay, thank you, sir. The other controversial CPA that we're dealing with is Opperman Gronde in the Free State. So that one has been going on for some time. The problem there in Opperman Gronde is that there are two factions. But if you look at it, they are actually related. They are all from Opperman family tree. But now the issue there is that the people who have been given land, others have been charged out now because there's a certain fee that all members are expected to pay per annum to be a member of the community. If you don't pay that amount, you lose your membership. Now that is the main problem that the people are having there. The two factions are fighting over that. And then they also want the members who are supposed to be beneficial. But now the other faction went to court and the court ruled in their favor, saying other people must apply to become members. Now the people feel that they can't apply to be members when they are beneficiaries anyway. Now those are the two main things that are bedeviling Opperman Gronde, where people are expected to pay certain fee per annum to remain members of the community, and then they have to apply, others have to apply, while they are beneficiaries, they have to apply to become members of the Opperman CPA. Those are the two main things that are bedeviling the CPA. Now, we have appointed, because we've been going up and down with the CPA, the department appointed a land rights inquiry who is supposed to investigate all the problems that are there in the CPA. He has asked for extension because it's not yet done with the investigation. We have given him another 6 months extension to finalize the investigation. But it's only then that we can, because we've got the terms of reference that were agreed upon by the two factions, that you must investigate whether the constitution as is, it's fair, whether the people who have been evicted while being members was fair, whether, all other things that we've identified as problems, he is supposed to investigate that. Now, like I'm saying, he has been given extension for about 6 months to come up with a report. That report, we asked the inquirer to come up with solutions. Now, once we've got the report, then we'll go back to the community to go and talk about the report and see what the way forward is for now. That is about Opperman Gronde. Under Russell Russell in the Northern Cape, things are calm now because that CPA is under administration. Is run by somebody outside. They've been appointed by the court and by the DG. Now, what is happening there, the problem was the election. Now, the department, Northern Cape, TSFC, they have appointed election agency who's busy arranging that there should be elections soon. So that one is ongoing, but for now that one has become is no more as hot as it was in previous. Those are the three that I have presently here, Chair, that talks about the controversial one. I don't know whether Mr. Zulu can maybe talk about Malabala for now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. On the Malamala and the Valmontar, let me start with Valmontar. Valmontar is the CPA that was established, which relates to one of the categories that I alluded to in the presentation. In Valmontar, when the claim was settled, there were individual family claims in the form of trust, family trust, because the dispossession was on those individual owners who were family. When the claim was settled, the commission settled the claim and transferred the land to those family trusts as per the original title deed. However, what happened is that there was another community, Berlin Mission, who were part of Valmontar. But Berlin Mission CPA said, we don't want to be part of Valmontar, we are going to establish our own CPA. That one was part of the settlement, it was done, no problem. However, there was Valmontar CPA that was established. When the Valmontar CPA established, when we met with them, I also personally met with them, there was a promise that they were going to be a portion of land, which was state land, which was now going to be transferred to the CPA, Valmontar CPA. And that piece of land is state land, which is now used by defense, or which was used by defense. And therefore, that land was going to just be additional land to the claim. I don't know the reason, but that land has never been transferred to the CPA. In other words, Valmontar CPA is one of the landless CPAs, because that issue of the, in terms of the transfer of the piece of land, which was going to be additional and be managed or held on behalf of the Valmontar claimants, which were settled in terms of individual family trust, and land was settled and transferred to those family trusts. In addition, they say there was going to be an additional land, which about 900 hectares or something, that was going to be transferred to the Valmontar CPA. As we speak now, Valmontar CPA is still landless CPA. So that is where the dispute is coming, because the CPA now, and some of the members of the CPA, and the local traditional council,
okay,
around that particular area of Valmontar, they are now allocating sites on the land that is owned by this trust who received the land through the restitution program, and also invading the very same state land that was supposed to have been transferred to the Valmontar CPA. So as we sit here, from the side of the CPA and the CPA Act, we have a Valmontar CPA that has not received the land in terms of what the claim was supposed to, in terms of the settlement of that particular claim. That is Valmontar. Therefore, we cannot proceed with the regularization of that CPA, because in any event, that CPA currently does not hold any land, which would make it compliant with the CPA. The last one is the Mwanda Hari, which is Malamala. The chairperson will know, and the members, the honorable members, that Malamala CPA Mwanda Hari is one of the long outstanding and problematic CPA. When we met with the group, we've been meeting with all the two groups. There are two groups, Tanganisweni and Mavurake. In terms of the claim, they lodged two claims. Mavurake, their own claim for specific properties, and Tanganisweni, they've got their own claim with specific properties. A CPA was established called Mwanda Hari. At the time, the two groups agreed to establish the CPA for whatever reason. Mwanda Hari is not the name of any of the two, but Mwanda Hari is a name of the river. That is how they explained to us. So there is Mshananiswemi, there is Mavurake. Now there is the partnership. They are in partnership with the Malamala company, because they is game and tourism. They are receiving a rental from them. Now, the dispute between the two is how the income is shared among themselves. Now, they've gone to a point where Tanganisweni currently is in court. They've referred the matter to court, asking the court to separate them from Mavurake. So that matter is still pending. The commission, legal team, and the council that has been appointed to deal with that matter from the side of the party. So from once that is completed, because what we did as the CBA unit, we met with all the parties, both parties. We, together with the commission, it was a task team that we established. We met with both communities. We then updated the beneficiary list in preparation for the elective AGM. Both parties cooperated, Mavurake and Tanganisweni, and a new beneficiary list, which was endorsed by the by the committee of elders. It was adopted. Now we have the new verification list of members, which is adopted by both parties. However, this court order now, in terms of the dispute between the two communities. Once that is resolved, based depending on the outcome of the court order, then we will then proceed with the elective AGM, which will then deal with the other issues as per the agreement we had with the two parties when we met with them, to deal with the other outstanding matters which relate even to the disbursement of the rental members across all the parties. However, according to them, the properties that they claim, they are not all of them transferred to them. I think the commission is still busy with that part in terms of the status of finalizing the claim, because there are properties they're saying they claimed, but they're still waiting for those properties in the Malamala. In short, Chairperson, that's Malamala. The alarm scope, I would request that we provide the Chairperson and the committee with a written response on the alarm scope, because I've just had a communication with the affected province so that we get the current and updated status on the land scope matter. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and the members.
Honorable Chair, Mr. Ndobe would conclude with the last intervention on the CPA, but I commit also that we will also portfolio committee for ease of reference. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gigi. Let me also take this opportunity to thank the Chair, Deputy Minister, members, support staff, and my colleagues. I'll be very brief, DG, but I'll try to address a very critical issue that has been raised by the Chair in his opening remarks, amongst others, which I want to address, the one that relates to what is the department doing in terms of addressing the conflict that is there between the traditional authority and the CPAs in many cases. And that is indeed, and it's a true reflection of what is happening on the ground. The chairperson is spot on that one, including also other issues that were raised. The department obviously will have to work with other critical institution, government, including outside government, in terms of trying to find a lasting solution on this matter. And to that effect, I'll start with one process that is actually going on now, led by the Deputy Minister, together with his colleagues from COCTA as well as from Justice, regarding the consultations that are going on with the intention to engage with communities, traditional authorities, in terms of the communal tenure rights, or in line with the process that is already on course on the development of the communal tenure bill and the policy. And I guess this consultation are very intense in nature, involves various stakeholders, including members of CPAs as well as traditional authority. And I think at the end of the day, when this process is concluded, that will culminate into the summit. These matters are going to be ventilated in the summit, and I guess the lasting solution in terms of how the traditional authorities, together with communities, traditional communities, and the CPAs, as part of that community, are going to coexist in that space. It's something that is still on course, and we can only just wait for the outcome of the finalization of the consultation that will lead to that. And obviously, once that has happened, I believe that will be reflected in the communal tenure bill, and that will become an act which will actually regulate the relationship of these two critical structures in terms of managing the communal tenure rights. There's also another parallel process that is also going on with regard in line with the issues that have been raised by the Chair, challenges of the CPA. And because of those challenges that I may not repeat, there's been a process to amend the Act. There's a bill that is in process of being finalized that has captured some key elements of challenges that the CPAs are facing, and to exert a bit of control in terms of how those challenges can be managed by empowering both the minister, some powers over the CPAs, and also including establishment of the CPA office and registry, which will actually have power to an extent that they can even be able to dissolve the committee if the committee if there's conflict and they realize that there are problems within that particular CPA. And it is our belief that once CPAs are managed properly and work properly, they will also be able to coexist well with the other organs of society, including the traditional authority. I think that's what I can say for now, Gigi. Unless I left something, you can add. Thank you so much.
The Thank you very much, Chair. We submit.
Thank you, Dr. Ramaswamy. Let us thank the acting DG officials of the department, as well as the Deputy Minister's opening remarks on the presentation put to us on the status or annual report of 2019-2020 of CPAs. I will now, honourable members, open for questions of clarity as we engage with the presentation. Honourable Kabe. If we may remove the presentation so we can see the honourable members on the screens. We may proceed, Honourable Kabe.
Thanks, Chairperson. I don't know if my gadget is failing me or what is happening here. I don't know if I'm visible on your screen.
We can hear you clearly. Proceed.
But you can't see me for sure. I don't know what is happening with my gadget.
Okay. Can clearly see you?
Huh? Okay. No.
We could see you, but now you've gone off.
I did.
Yeah, there you are.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation on annual report of CPA 2019-2020. Yo, Chair, I must be honest, it doesn't differ with the previous year's annual reports. And probably I must also declare, Chair, that as a student, I have been at least given permission by this department after a long time of vetting and whatever to take CPAs as a research project with the University of the Northwest as a PhD student. But I'm doing it for academic purpose. This is what I reassured them. Not anything to do with the performance of the department, but the passion of rural development as a student of management and economics. Chair, the problem that I have with the CPA annual reports that the departments are presenting every time is the obsession with compliance with the Act or legislation at the expense of beneficiaries of land reform. The department usually we fight for compliance of the executive committee at the expense of the ultimate end of improvement of rural livelihoods of beneficiaries. Nobody's saying we are beneficiaries out of all this. But the chair, and I'm happy that it has just been indicated that the very same Communal Property Association Act is under amendment. The bill that was introduced in 2017, it's still awaiting presidential signature up to now. How long does it take for president to append the signature for it to become an act? If it will improve the governance and the management of CPAs, technically, I would say there's no act that the CPAs must comply with. Now, we don't know what we do with all these challenges because technically, there's no act. It's still a bill that's awaiting signature. It is a problem. There's a thing that is indicated here. The slide that speaks to the registration of CPAs without land. And in your input, Chair, you spoke about CPAs that land were never transferred to. Now, the establishment of a CPA is to be a custodian of land, of communities, or beneficiaries of land reform. How do you establish a CPA and you come back to us and say, they don't have land? Because before you establish them, you should have ascertained. Now, I'm saying, Chair, on that one, we would need a full report. Yes, I heard others have sold the land and want to know what is happening to them. But before the department even starts to deregister, they must bring report to us. Who are these CPAs that they want to deregister, and have they went into the bottom of why up to today they don't have land? Because I take this as a shortcut for them to remove themselves from this bundle and this problem of CPAs. It cannot be correct. Before you register them, they have to be land. They are custodians of land. They are a landholding entity. We need a report on that before even this deregistration starts. I'm happy, Chair, because one of the presenters indicated that they think the expectation is just too much for CPA to run businesses. And hence I spoke about the obsession on compliance of the Act. There's it leaves or a insight on issues which are structural and institutional dynamics that are eating away the CPAs. And we only talk for compliance here. Let's go down deep and look at the institutional and structural problems of CPAs. And we will not be able to do that, because when you look into the slide that speaks to human resource capacity, over the years, there's always never been adequate support in terms of warm bodies, in terms of the staff that are assigned to deal with support, to deal with oversight and monitoring of CPAs. I see they are saying it's 10 in the Northwest. I can tell you over the years, there has been 3 individuals right through for over 174 CPAs with all those challenges that we have in Bakhatlaba, Khafela, Bachakoba, Lema, Barolomborato, and all others that are in court, and everything has then came to a standstill. So, Chair, we need really to look into other issues instead of only compliance. On the very same planned intervention, there's nothing on improving human capacity, though there's a slide that it is a challenge. Until the department takes a deliberate decision to staff these units or directorates that are dealing with CPAs, we will never go anywhere with this one. When we were in KZN, I asked the officials, they said they think they have over 600 CPAs. And with this slide, they will never be able to resolve anything. And my last thing on the planned intervention is on bullet 2, evaluate and review CPI models as a landholding entity. Define new landholding instruments for land reform. I've been asking myself, does the department think they are deriving any joy from CPAs? Are they having a return on investment on the money that they are spending? Now I see that there's an intention to review and have the communal property institutions model as landholding entity. Can you explain? What do you mean here? Are you meaning you want to deal away with CPAs? And I will always think, but with the immediate expropriation of land without compensation, do we have a vehicle as a department that we will use? If tomorrow we wake up and we say there's land, there's more land that needs to be given to people, which model are we going to use? The department is also saying that the review of the draft of CPA policy to provide for new land holding models. Now the draft CPA policy is still a draft, it has to be reviewed. So there's a lot that we're not getting, that we're not going to go anywhere. CPAs are a challenge, they are an elephant in the room for this department. We need fully fledged and deliberate interventions for us to deal with this. If you look at this intervention that they will review, those that are expired and recall elections, CPAs were supposed to be there for 5 years. Most of them are over 20 years. It's another fight and conflict for positions and resources. So we really need to say, I don't know why, I don't have answers, but I'm saying, as part of what I'm doing, trying to do every day for academic purpose, I would also want to hear for Hamanet what is the department's intention about CPA and their return for investment and how they want to deal with this vehicle moving forward. Is it the right vehicle for beneficiaries of land reform that don't have any economic spin-offs out of what was supposed to bring improvement in the rural livelihoods? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Tappe. Honorable Mestey.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I share the passion and frustration of Honorable Tlape. Chair, and I must also say that I am very disappointed. Firstly, Chair, thank you for calling this meeting. I think it is long overdue and as much needed, Chair. But I've just read back on the previous meetings of this portfolio when we met regarding CPAs. The last one that I could find that was specifically targeted to CPAs was in October 2019. It is almost 2 years back. And even before that, if we go to December 2018 and March 2018, we spoke about some of these problematic CPAs in those meetings, Chairperson. It was before the combination of the two portfolios as we have them now. It was when land reform was still on its own. Rama was discussed, Mala Mala was discussed, some of the others were discussed there, Chairperson. In reading and listening to what the presentation was just saying about what is happening in those, it's nothing new, Chairperson. It sounds like since 2018. Not much has happened. You know, we're getting the same reports over and over again. My question to the department would be, Chair, outside of coming to report to us on a yearly basis on CCA, what short plans do they have in place? Do they have like a development plan or a process plan or a plan of action and all of that? And Chairperson, I've been in contact with many of these CCAs. Most of them are sitting with the exact same problems that was highlighted in those five or six that we were informed about today. Many CPAs are having problems with those members that were either elected as their leadership, people that haven't even belonged to their CPA, who are selling land to other people that they don't know from nowhere. I am also receiving calls, Chairperson, of members of CPAs, of community members who are part of CPAs, who are saying they are writing constantly, phones to the department, but not getting any help. And I almost get the feeling that, you know, the putting a CPA under its administration or, you know, taking on a court case on behalf of communities, it's always, you know, the solution of what the department wants to come up. I want to find out, Chair, we need to get a full report firstly on all these CPAs that we've mentioned about. Like, for instance, 15% would never be compliant. What is the details of that? Don't they have plans? Are they not getting together anymore? Are they not forming a CPA? We need full details, Chairperson, and that is exactly what I asked in 2019 when we last met with this department. I said the CPA reports that we are getting, the numbers and the stats, is not good enough. We are talking about people's lives. We are talking about people who were, as Honorable Tlape says, is supposed to be benefiting from the land that they receive. Chair, there's nothing happening. There's fighting and infighting. There's collusion and corruption. We need to get a proper full plan, not on whether the CPA health meetings. I know that is a legislative thing that needs to happen. Chairperson, how many of our senior leadership and staff is actually sitting down and meeting with community members to understand what it is about. And I was listening with interest to the report on Oppermansgronde. I've met with a group, if you want to call it, factions of the Oppermansgronde leadership. Their constitution that their CPA adopted. How can a department now say that they don't allow that constitution of the community? Chair, it concerns me. It's as if the department themselves are taking sides in internal battles and factions and not trying to solve. If the CPA took a specific course, for instance, asking for a small fee every year to say that I'm still a member of this CPA and to cover certain costs of the CPA administration. Who is the department to go and say they can't do it? I don't want to get involved in the, you know, specifics of if it is a legal thing. There were legal cases already against it. But I'm really concerned about Jefferson. I don't think the department is doing enough outside of coming to report to us every year. This one ticked the box and this one did not tick the box. I still say, even those that we get reports on that said it ticked the correct boxes under the administration process, it's not correct, Chairperson. I don't know who is giving the information to the department in order for to us to report to us. But, Chair, we will need full detailed reports on every CPA in this country. To get a list to say 13% is compliant, so much percent is not compliant, is just not good enough. We need to find out who has got title to land, who has not got title to land, where is the infighting, where is court cases going on. And lastly, the most important part, what is it that we are doing to fix it so that the communities can actually benefit from the land that
I
receive.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Stein. Can I request Ubao Zulu to remove the screen so we can enable all the participants to be visible on the screen. Ubao Zulu, can you close? Thank you. Let us proceed, Honorable Members. Honorable Memaso.
Honorable Chair, let me greet you and greet all the members on the platform. Chairperson, let
please
me
look to us, Ma'am Marco. Yeah, we thank can you. See you proper now.
Thank you. Let me welcome the annual report of the CPA, presented by the department. The issue of compliance on the financial management should be prioritized on the chairperson, which I think should train. They make sure that they prioritize that so that they can teach this person how to manage their funds. Also, I heard the presenter was talking about the bill which was still outstanding. We will suggest that the bill must be prioritized also to be finalized, as it's one of the bills that will help the CPA to do better. The other issue, Chairperson, that I've looked at is the skills on policy and procedure. That must be taken into consideration by the department, so that these people, they can be able to understand the policies that govern, they can be able to be better people for the future, have a little bit of work that they do. But we need to intensify the issue of marketing for their product so that they can be able to be on the market, on the national market, to grow our economy, including the important for the department to make a taking into consideration with regard to the issue of health in them. It should not be just a report that comes to us like it has happened. I say my my frustration with those two members that have already spoken with regard to the CPA. The CPA is one of the vehicles that can help our people in rural areas to create more jobs for our people so that we can be able to help one they help one another. So we need to make sure that we move with speed, because some of those CPAs, we have realized, Chairperson, that they sell land to other people, and the land that they were given by their own government so that they can better their lives. So the department must pull up this on stock and make sure that they implement those policies as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Memaso. Honorable Dr. Masipa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think my colleagues really covered quite extensively the issues. I just want to really emphasize once again some of the issues that they have pointed out. The issue of compliance, you know, I think there's a lot of statements being made around compliance. The question is, what does it mean to be compliant, you know? Does it mean that the lives of the people improve that are on the this CPA? Does it mean that the department just tick their boxes, that they are happy? Does it mean that they go around and do extension services to just to make sure that these guys are supported financially and otherwise? What is happening to those that are not complying? What are they doing in order to ensure that they do comply? And I think the Honorable Stein did say specifically, you know, that we need some reports to indicate to us specifics as such, and I think it's very important that we touch that. Really, Chair, I think we need to start now looking at the tangible benefits, because the report talks about just compliance. But we are not told, you know, what are the best practices, what are the tangible benefits that this CPA are really the fruit that they are enjoying from this CPA. We have got so many court cases around the CPA. I mean, Moretele is one of those court cases, you know. How do this CPA get to that level? You know, I think it's a big question to say, you know, I mean, to get to that level of liquidation, surely the department should have had some steps of intervention before the CPA get to that level of, you know, get into some judicial assistance. There is an issue that I've picked up here, that once CPA has been liquidated, deregistered, and obviously, you know, judgment passed by Land Bank having taken a case against. And in one of the reports, one of the provinces, it indicates that the internal support that they have got there is that they provide finance, collaborate with the department, and so forth. So what I'm asking is, why does the CPA lend itself into such situation with the Land Bank, while there's a good understanding between the department and the Land Bank? And we also, you know, talking about the blended finance and all the other support that the government has got. I would really like to know what really, if the department can provide us a bit of a brief regarding that. That's that one. And yeah, because the CPA says other initiatives include that an integrated financing or funding model for agriculture support, which incorporates a producer support model, is currently being finalized. Okay, this was the report that we received last year, that these are some of the initiatives that the department is putting together in order to ensure that the CPA are better supported. I would like the department to provide us with the update regarding those that they have supported, and what are the success rates out of those. The other feedback during the last year when the department was here regarding the CPA, they indicated that the department is encouraging agricultural cooperatives to participate in setting up the cooperative's financial institution with the aim of establishing a rural development bank. If the department can really also provide us an update regarding this that they have really shared with us. The issue is that, Chair, I think that there are so many problems here. And I do not think that, you know, this two-hour discussion with the department will do us justice. It's like it's an ICU, this department, technically, you know. If you look at the report and you look at the CPAs that are really kind of non-existing, you know, issue of tenure security doesn't seem to exist with all the CPAs that are here. So, Chair, I do think that really we need a comprehensive report in terms of the targeted interventions of each CPA that this department is having, and obviously, you know, those that are under legal, they will have to really take their course, unfortunately. But for those that can still be rescued, we'll appreciate if the department can really share with us their specific targeted intervention. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Matias.
Dankie, voorzitter. Chairperson, I think I know I can't say better than my colleagues that have spoken before me have said it. It feels exactly the same as we always do, and I have to maybe pronounce my frustration with the fact that we are not seeing the CPA bill being signed, and the fact that the department comes back and reports year in and year out on the exact same things. And I think the problem is, Chair, the presentation ticks all the boxes. It ticks the boxes. I think it was Honourable Stain that said, we know that compliance is a legislative requirement. But my questions I've written down here, how many CPAs are embroiled in court proceedings? How many are under administration? How many work 100%? And I'm not feeling that we're getting that. I'm not feeling that we are getting a clear picture of what the issue is. We've seen, and I think if you quickly count, it's something like 600 CPAs that are in non-compliance and that have non-compliances. Which is all good and well, but in terms of the total of CPAs, how are we? And I would really like to see that breakdown, those statistics, to see what are they, because the impression I have, Chairperson, is that year in and year out, CPAs struggle with two things, compliance and members and board members not being part of the CPA. And I think we've all received quite a number of emails of people saying that this and that and receiving complaints about that fact. And I'm just thinking back to KZN, the very first time we went, where we actually had a number of extension officers, you know, being involved in the corruption, you know, the colluding of these CPAs. And I would really like to see a clear cut, a more detailed presentation of what is with the municipalities. You always say, I want to see the service delivery. And I almost want to say that the CPAs, I want to see them working, I want to see them functioning. And that would be my three questions, Chair, and maybe just my comments in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Akhbar Ebriyat. The Honourable Kaba.
It's not on the platform, Chair.
Not on the platform. That Matthias. Is there any other honorable member that I've not recognized on the platform who may wish to pose a question? If not, honorable members, let us proceed. I will add in a few questions as we welcome a great deal of work that has been done by the department, particularly in 2019, in relation to capacity building and training. We would like to request the department to submit a full financial report to the portfolio committee detailing the total budget allocated for support on CPA and expenditure thereof. The report must indicate a breakdown of all items and interventions necessary for the support of CPAs. For example, honorable members, we would like the annual report to show that CPAs received funding from one household or one hectare program. In assessing the status of CPAs, it is important for the committee to understand the impact of such funding to CPAs. Secondly, honorable members, it was reported that there are CPAs that have lost land. For example, loss of land because they used it as a collateral. How widespread is this problem? We would like to request the department to submit a report of all cases where CPAs have lost land and actions taken by the department to remedy the situation. Thirdly, in 2018, honorable members, the department reported that there were 99 CPAs that had lost, that had not received title deeds. So 99 CPAs that had not received title deeds. It meant that they did not hold or own any property. The department undertook to process the release of title deeds, and we would therefore would like to understand how far is this project. Can the department submit a progress report on release of title deeds? Fourthly, the report is thin on details of cases referred to the Land Rights Management Facility and those placed under judicial administration, liquidation and deregistration. The committee would therefore request a status report. We request that the department must submit a report with age analysis as well as proposed interventions. Fifthly, there is a great emphasis on problems emanating from the CPA constitution, e.g. the written in language that is not understood by members or clauses that are problematic. One fails to understand why this is so because Section 6, Subsection 2 of the Act provides for the Director General to designate an official to assist communities to draft a constitution. Does it mean that officials designated by the DG continue to approve constitutions that are problematic? Sixth one would be with regard to specific cases emanating from the legacy report. The department can, we request of the department to submit a report in that regard. And maybe if I may be specific on one particular CPA, if it does exist, in around the issue of Gwaju, is there a registered CPA in Gwaju? And what is the name of the CPA that is registered as a beneficiary in Gwaju? And who is the traditional council that is located in that area? And has the department had any engagements and any talks with the traditional council that is located in the Gwaju area? I thank you. Let us now hand over to the Deputy Minister, the Honorable Squatcher, as well as the acting DG, Ndate Ramasodi. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks, Honorable Member. I must confess that you were really hard hitting, but perhaps it ought to be so. I think your issues, Chairperson, you in particular, are very comprehensive in how you think we should be responding and giving back a report to your good friends. Before I give over to the official to say something, Honorable Members, I really want to say this is a very, very difficult uphill when it relates to this CPAs. I am not taking anything away from your criticism and the fact that you might not have moved in relation to your expectations. I think we should look at ourselves. I really think that there should also be a recognition of the problems that we engage with in this regard, involving in particular the infighting and the corruption that does persist. Honorable Kape spoke about, she reminded me when she spoke about Makhatla Bakafel, a very, very difficult area where you sit in one meeting and three entities call themselves CPAs. Perhaps what is really true is maybe our report, as Honorable Stein has reflected, that the figures might not be very helpful. We should probably be more explicit so that there can be better appreciation. I want to say to a person, we have to balance the critical issue raised by Honorable Krape about the fundamental thing we're about. Solving the problems of our people is quite more important than compliance issues. I am sure that she does not in any way mean that there should be no compliance, because compliance has to be there. in relation to what you, the official might add there, what you have been a challenge for quite a couple of years, and unfortunately it has also been a trumping ground for our own selfish politics. But the truth of the matter is, there is no CPA in Gwaju. There are people who call themselves a CPA. They have not complied at all. They have not been regarded as CPA by ourselves. We are busy in Gwaju with an inquiry, land rights inquiry. We have been doing that at some stages. Our own officials have to go out of Gwaju under police protection because people do not want us to do our work there. There have been meetings held with the people of Gwaju and the traditional authorities under the leadership of the Chachu clan there. There seems to be constant conflict between that traditional authority and the Gwaju people. Our report is ready. 3 days ago, we agreed with the official that it's time that we actually go to the area of Gwaju and speak to the people in their entirety. The people who call themselves the CPA have not been allowing us to do that. There's been some attempts to massage them to understand that we cannot only speak to them. In a nutshell, comrade, look, Honorable Chairperson, we really, I have been listening to what you are saying on the issues that you are raising. We think that we are trying our best. It seems far less than enough, and we have to look at ourselves. And I want to give over to the Acting Director General. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister Squatcha, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I think one of the things that is very important in terms of the inputs that we have had is the issue to recognize from the Portfolio Committee that the CPA is actually an offspring of statute. And therefore, the Portfolio Committee is actually indicating to us that let's go beyond the issues in terms of compliance, because they might look rosy in terms of paper, and looking at how they would be compliant or non-compliant. But what we need to do is to ensure that when we deal with the issues around challenges within the report itself, there is a very strong statement that is made to say, let's go deeper. Let us ensure that we know, if we talk about maladministration, what are the issues that you are talking about from a maladministration, and we need to be specific on the issues being referred to. Secondly, on the issues around governance, likewise, we need to be specific to each and every case that we refer to. And then lastly, in terms of the issues around misappropriation of funds, and also on being issues being subject of court, I think those are the details that we need to flesh out in the 2020-2021 report. I'll deal with the other issues that Honorable Chair has also raised. So I've just deduced that the Portfolio Committee is actually indicating that we need to go beyond the compliance that's prescribed and go into the real issues that are plaguing the CPAs per se. I must say, Chair, I'm very encouraged, and let me apologize to Honourable Zappe in terms of the time it has taken for her to clear the protocols in terms of ensuring that she has got the right to use information around CPAs, and indicating that line that there is a lot of body of evidence that seems to suggest quite a few challenges when it comes to the CPAs. And I'm saying this with interest as a person who resides in the traditional authority, and there is a CPA there that is taking care of this. So there's that level of appreciation of the issues and the body of evidence that is there. I think what is very important that we might do, and I still have got just to quickly consult with the colleagues, is that there has been work that was done previously by the CSIR on the CPAs. We might just need to do a review after some years that the CSIR has done with an academic institution, just to look at the just issues or even the sustainability issues that relate to the CPAs. And this will also greatly assist in terms of the work that needs to be done by the department on the CPAs beyond just the compliance issues, which the chair has really emphasized, and I don't think that we can go further on that. There are issues around maybe strategies in terms of livelihood diversification as an offset of the CPAs that we need to look at, and looking at the other areas of defining new instruments that can be utilized. And Honourable Clapper, I think the colleagues would be able to respond to that issue on what is meant by the new instrument. I think Honourable Masipa, in terms of the blended finance input that we are looking at, we are departing from a point to say CPAs, like business entities that we are having, have got the right to also apply for government services that are being offered within different localities, including on the blended finance, as we had indicated. And the comprehensive producer support development policy, as we are currently processing it, is looking at categorizing under which category would the different CPAs be falling into, so that we can be able to assist at that level. But the different inputs that you are having, financial instruments that you are having, ILEMA, LEZEMA, CASP, are also assisting the CPAs at this moment. And I think the integrated funding model and the issue that was raised, I think, last year on the Rural Development Bank, I would like the colleagues to respond to that, and because I think that there is something tangible that we can look at as a department to deal with it. My apologies, Chair, had to take some copious amounts of notes. I think Honourable Breed, on the policy issues that we have got to look at, on the support side, the review in terms of the policy that deals with CPAs is very important in terms of ensuring that we have got proper policy that would then guide the framework under which this would be presided, taking into consideration the pertinent issues that were raised by the chair when he started drawing a dichotomy on the CPA vis-a-vis the traditional authority, which is a very sore point that needs a policy direction. And my colleague, Ms. Andove, had responded to it. Honourable Chair, I think you had requested a few issues that I need to confirm on. The first one is the financial report regarding the CPA, which we will provide, and that would also entail the programs that were there, whether 1 hectare, 1 household indication that we are having. The other report would be on the spread of the land and the actions regarding those CPAs that have lost land. We will also give that. There was a 2018 report, as indicated, Chair, where we had indicated that there were 99 CPAs that were still awaiting title deeds, we will still give an update in terms of the progress report, and we will also give details in terms of the cases that were referred to the MLRF in terms of the issues and the areas around deregistration and liquidation. That will be on this year, and I think that that's the very same pattern that we have got to follow for the 2020-2021 report, including the issues that I previously raised, that were raised by Honorable Spain, Honorable Tlape, and Honorable Masipa, and Honorable Priet. I think those are the issues that I will give attention to. I will request the colleagues then to give details in terms of the issues that were very pertinent from the Honorable Members. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will start with Ndate Zulu and go to Ndate Ndo. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for the questions and the comments. I think the Deputy Minister has covered some of them, and the BD has also covered some of the issues. However, I think there's just one that I would want to talk to from Honorable Tlape, the issue on the model. As I've alluded to in the presentation, what we have discovered is that we have the CPA as a land holding entity holding land on behalf of its members. But what we have discovered that the issue of security of tenure of individual members is not guaranteed. So that's the first part that we are saying. Maybe as we look at the whole model of CPAs, we're not saying we're doing away with CPAs, because there is a legislation that gives rise to the establishment of these entities. But however, the model itself, we are saying we just want to look at it, having identified the issues and the lessons that we have learned over time, so that we can improve on the issues of governance and the model itself. For instance, as I've said, the CPAs as they stand now, we are expecting more from them. And some of them, they are very rich CPAs. They are running, they are generating lots and lots of income, which in actual fact is supposed to come back and develop their members. And also, they are not meant, if you look at the structure of these CPAs, they are not created to run operating business the way they run their affairs in terms of their constitution, because they are guided by the constitution. So therefore, that's why we're saying we just have to look not the structure in terms of the act, but the model itself. How do we deal with issues that relate to CPAs that have economic activities, where you find that there's mining, there's game, there's tourism, there is a lot of income that is generated within that particular CPA. And you find that the proceeds from those economic activities or businesses, that money goes to the CPA account managed by the executive committee. The question is, we are saying, how does it flow straight to the individual members or households or families where the dispute comes? So the review or looking at the models, obviously those models won't be one size fits all. Hence we were proposing, we're saying the audit will help us to zoom into each CPA and understand what is happening in each one of the CPAs. Then we then relook at how they can then deal with their day-to-day issues, the land holding entity, the survey, the operating company or a business entity where there is income generation. Where they are settled, are residents, how do we make sure that within the CBA model, the tenure security of the members or residents or households or families within the CPA owned land, they are protected, the tenure rights of those persons, so that they are not subjected to evictions. So that is the reason why we're talking about new models, not necessarily the issue of doing away with the structure, because it's legislated with the legislation which gives rise to that. But however, look at the model and how they can improve on the governance and how they deal with their day-to-day activities, which we have identified as the cause, the root causes of these conflicts and disputes among themselves. That is what I think we were referring to when we talk about that. I think the others were the comments, and we'll also be following up. We've got some correspondence from ministry and presidency around the bill, which we are hopeful that very soon that the president will accept to the bill, and then we can start implementing the bill. The last part is that on the issue of constitutions, we've identified the fact that sometimes, long time ago, you will see some of the CPA constitutions, even though they've been adopted by the members and submitted to the department with an authorizing officer appointed by the department, but we realize that there are some of the constitutions which obviously we need to have a close look at them and strengthen our capacity during those processes of adopting these constitutions, so that we make sure that they are obviously aligned to the Act and also aligned to Section 25(6) of the Constitution, and make sure that the security of tenure of those persons are provided for, and also the development happening in those CPAs or that CPA level. And we consider the issue of development, which has been in a bone of contention, where the CPA lands and through our programs in the department. So we have also noticed and identified that there's a challenge, that there must be a dedicated support to CPA lands. As you, the honorable members and the chairperson, have noted that they own quite a big chunk of land, as we have presented. Thank you very much. Another question.
Thanks, DJ, and thanks to the chair to have another opportunity to talk to the members. Thanks to DM's comments, as well as my colleagues, in response to the issues raised by honourable members. I think my the people who spoke before me, both DM and DG and my colleague, have actually covered the bigger part of this area. There's not much to say, but there are just two areas that I just thought I should just make a comment on. One is the issue around the selling of land, which is have come out to be one of the key and sore area in terms of challenges that are there in the CPA, because what it means is the land is sold to not even to the members of the CPA, and that in itself poses some challenges, because we're not even sure whether those people that are selling, buying that land, they have got actual right even to own land in South Africa. And that becomes another challenge to the stability and security of the country as a whole. And it's a matter that should be looked at closely. Fortunate enough that the bill actually covers that area in terms of restriction, in terms of how the land should be sold, and actually in the process that needs to be followed if the land has to be sold by the CPA, which currently there's not much order in terms of that. The second part is the capacity of the department in terms of equal to the task of what is before the department in its task as per the Act, as well as per the work of the department, as the department is outside the CPA environment. Definitely the capacity that we have currently that focuses on the CPA is insufficient, that is very true. We have been going through, especially in the last years, through some kind of merging of the two departments, and also in line with the GPSA guidance on how we should deal with the issues of recruiting more officials. But we are working on that. We will definitely find a way, and there are opportunities for us to be able to address the capacity challenges. Obviously, it will be addressed in an increasing manner, meaning that it may not happen in 1 year, but it's something that we have to embark on it and dedicate our efforts to make sure that we at least have the minimum required staff that can be able to handle most of the issues that are in the city. But that we commit to work towards that, but in line with what is available and guidance from the GPSA in terms of how far we can go in that regard. But we will address that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, can I come in?
Go ahead, Dr. Sabata.
Thank you, honourable members. Chair, can I just say, we understand the frustration that the honourable committee members are going through because of lack of progress as far as CPAs are concerned. But honourable Chair, allow me also to put in another angle to this. And Chair, I am not justifying anything of lack of progress in the department. But I would appreciate if the honourable members also look at the conditions that officials are working when they work with CPAs. Like I'm saying, it's not to justify lack of performance justice. Chair, when you deal with CPAs, you're dealing with people, who can be very difficult most of the time. People who can be very dishonest sometimes. And again, Chair, when you deal with CPA, you're dealing with private land. It's not like the department has got overall control of it. We can only control and monitor to a certain extent. Sometimes, Chair, when we intervene, the CPA members, those who are said to be doing wrong, committee members, they interdict the department. And that somehow, stops us, curtails our action. Sometimes, Chair, there's a lot of political interference in CPA matters, especially where there is economic activities happening in the Northern Cape. I once went to one community member meeting. And Chair, when we went into the meeting, we found different people coming with different political regards. And the discussion was not really to assist the committee going forward. It was more of a political, gathering. People opposing each other, not to promote, the CPA thing. Sometimes you find people complaining, complainant, the concerned group come to the department. When you arrange a meeting to come and deal with the issues that they're complaining, they don't come. They are afraid to attend because some of the other groups come with guns. Now, officials' lives are also sometimes under threat. So it becomes difficult for officials sometimes to be able to control and to help the citizens because of those things. Now, those are the conditions that officials are working under. I was once, when I was still in the North, I was once threatened to be shot at while I'm trying to help. I'm just trying to show you, sir, that although we understand the frustrations of the committee that no progress is happening, but also look at the other side and say, but under which conditions are the officials working on? It's difficult, sir. What made this worse the past year is the COVID-19 restriction, where other CPAs had to have elections to choose new committees. But those things we could not meet because of the restriction. Now, those are some of the things that I want the chair and the honorable members to consider, not justifying that we don't do it, but just consider those things that officials are working on. Now, Chair, to comment on two things here. Honorable Chape asked about how can a CPA be there without land. Chair, what is happening normally? Before land is transferred, you have to establish the CPA so that the land can be transferred into the name of the CPA. But what happens sometimes, especially in the early years of the department, what happens sometimes, you negotiate with the farm owner, you agree to the price of the land, everything you agree, the CPA is being established. Before you establish CPA, you must make a point that you have an agreement with the farm owner to sell the land. But once you have established the CPA, you go back to the table, the vision table, the owner now reneges, I'm almost selling this land. Your government is giving me less money. I've got a better offer, sometimes lying. Now, you find that their land is no more transferred to the city. But now, where is the catch here? The catch is, once you have established the CPA, it's difficult to deregister it. Because Section 13.3 of the Act tells you how to deregister the CPA. It's not just a matter of taking a pen and deleting the CPA from the register. No. There must be consensus, there must be meetings, there must be committee resolutions to deregister the CPA. And it becomes difficult in that because people in the process lose interest because they don't have the land, so why should I go back there? There's no CPA according to what they think. So it becomes difficult for the department to deregister the CPA. But like my colleague was saying, we've approached legal services to advise us how best to deregister CPA without any legal implication. Now, that's why sometimes we have a CPA, but there's no land, where the land was not transferred. And sometimes CPA are formed with a hope of transferring the land, restitution land, and later on, the same people settle for financial assessment. The CPA exists, but there's no land. Now, this was also a question here about compliance, that we are obsessed with compliance. It might be true, Chair. I don't take it away from anyone. But what is the purpose of compliance? Chair, there are a lot of CPAs that have got a lot of, that are rich. Good soil, minerals, and all those things. Communities that have been given land, very good land, very good business. But because they don't comply, they end up misusing the funds. They end up misusing the resources of the CPA. That's why we insist on compliance. If CPAs can be compliant, we know that at least they will be doing things properly to assist and develop the community. Now, Chair, we are not doing the capacity issue alone. We've put other stakeholders, outside stakeholders, that are assisting us. We have just had a memorandum of agreement with Tranit, University of Technology, who are going to train our CPAs in four provinces for free? Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Gauteng, where QT has got their campuses. They're going to train the CPAs on finance, on how to deal with the land. See, in many aspects, and starting whatever. Now, we have engaged them so that they should assist us because we have some capacity constraints in provinces. We've also approached Vumelana Advisory Trust, who identifies CPAs with potential for investors to come in. They have been involved in the Northwest in CPAs that have got the game area in the Northwest, in the Rustenburg area, where they assisted the CPAs to form some sort of a joint venture with investors. Now we are busy with that kind of stakeholders there to assist the department so that we develop the CPAs, because the CPAs with good farms, good land, good resources. I wanted to mention that officials sometimes work under very bad and terrible conditions. Sometimes they can't do their work because they have been stopped, but interdicted. Sometimes they have been threatened by the same members who complain. So you find that sometimes there's lack of progress because of external influence, like political interference. I don't want to say, not to justify that there's lack of progress from our side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Sebabe. Honorable members, there's the responses from the department. I will now open up for follow-up questions on the responses that have been put to the honorable members. Honorable Kappe.
Chair, thank you very much. And let me thank the department on the responses that they have indicated. And I wouldn't have a follow-up question, Mr. Chair, but safe to say, I want to support what was muted by Honorable Masipa, that we really need time to focus and go deeper into issues pertaining to the CPAs. And Honorable Masipa also spoke to the, can we have the time frame for this? I know it's with presidency, but who needs to do follow up on the HIMA pending the signature on the CPA amendment bill that has been there since 2017, that was introduced in 2017. So I think the issues around CPAs are just too many, and the department is also alluding to the fact that this is a challenge, and with all that is happening, we really need to pay attention and have a targeted intervention if we have to win the fight on CPAs, making sure that there's economic spin-offs to the beneficiaries of land reform. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Kappe. Honorable Meste.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you also for the answers that we received. Chairperson, firstly, I know that we are in our cycle of the year again, so we, I'm sure, will soon receive the annual reports of the department. And one of the reports that we will have to receive is the one of the CPA. I at one stage, when I got the notice, thought we were going to discuss the CPA annual report today. But obviously it was just a presentation. As far as I understand, we discussed the 2019-20 CPA report. So I hope, Chairperson, that when we get the actual report of the last financial year, that we will be able to get some more details in that report. I'm not sure how far the department is with finalizing the yearly report. Chairperson, And I listened very carefully to the answers. And I agree, it is a very challenging thing. Even ourselves as politicians, and I also listen to say that sometimes apparently politicians are involved in, you know, the infighting of what is going on in CPIs, and it must be, could be true and it could be correct, Chairperson, but even ourselves, and I did mention earlier, some of us get involved because we get calls from community members who say they are calling their department, they are calling this, they are calling that, and to us, they are saying that some officials are even involved in the infighting and what is happening, Chairperson. So I think, you know, it is all around just people are running to people to try and get assistance. And as I said in the beginning, a lot of issues has got to do because, you know, the elected leadership is not doing what they are supposed to be doing. CPA members feel like they are being left behind. And Chair, I also listen to the fact that it is private property and it's individuals that it is their ownership. And the department can't just come in and tell them what to do. And I totally agree with that. My concern is, Chairperson, that it doesn't seem like a lot of training went into with the responsibility of getting property or ownership. I think the department, and that's why I said earlier, the issue that we are discussing about compliance, which we understand is legislation, there needs to be compliance. But compliance is a very small part of what needs to happen. Training and training and development of people, CPA members and the elected structures, especially on the land that is mineral rich or very good agricultural land where people can actually make a very good income, not only for individual people but also for their community members. Chair, I really think ourselves as a committee also maybe need to think about that to ensure that we get more partnership of people that can come in and assist at the end of the day. I understand that it's a massive task for the department, and for that matter, Chair, I think we need to include in our report almost like a skills set of the people, of our staff members that needs to work with the CPA to establish what kind of skill sets maybe is needed in order to look at assisting CPA. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Stay. Akware Priyat.
Thank you, Chair. I am covered by Honourable Sam Klappe's question.
Thanks very much. What I just want to really propose, I don't think that I have got a question to follow up, is that the way these CPAs were presented, I think the department was a bit all over. I just want to maybe ask that maybe, you know, they look at clustering them, those that are CPA for agricultural purposes, and those that are residential, and those are other, you know, CPAs. So that, you know, when we look at them, we analyze them, we can actually be able to see and understand where really the gap is. Because like they said, you know, some of the CPAs don't have even the land is still to be registered and so forth. But I think with your agricultural, you can also, you know, start saying these are the good CPAs, these are the bad CPA. This is what's making the bad CPA, and obviously, you know, start looking at how then do you cross-pollinate and ensure that, you know, the good CPA, you know, practices are being passed over to others. At the moment, what you see the presented, you know, province by province, and, you know, CPA this and this in judiciary or whatever, you know, that they are under administration and so forth. So my request is that maybe, you know, the next time when they come, you know, just to cluster it in such a way that, you know, we can tell a better story, because we need to go somewhere. We can't be sitting with the problems. We need to see where are we going with the CPA. At the moment, it seems as if, you know, it's just doom and gloom. Looks like nothing is happening. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, the Honourable Ntate Masipa. Memato. Honourable Memato.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. I don't have any questions for now. Chair, thank you very much.
Thanks, Honourable Memato. Any other honourable member on the platform who may wish to pose a question and are not recognised? Thank you, honourable members. Maybe Ntate Ramasodi, you may assist. I didn't pick up the name of the CPA that is officially registered in Gwaju. Or are you in the process of registering them? Or is there a CPA that has been approved by the department in the area of Gwaju? Now, just to try and gain an understanding, I think Deputy Minister Squacha says they've not been given approval by the CPA to meet with the traditional council. If that is so, it will be quite disturbing for us as a committee to hear that an entire department must seek for permission in order of doing its affairs or its work in any area of the Republic. Did I hear that correctly, or is the department going to have meetings with the traditional council in the area of Gwaju? It would be disturbing that in order to do so, they would require permission from the CPA. Kindly clarify that. But also, with a letter that was sent to my office, through the Communal Property Associations Forum, which were formally established by the former minister, Ubao Nkwinti, and the Chief Land Claims Commissioner in the past year. It seems that the minister and the director general of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform at the time tabled the annual reports of CPAs, which included the role, existence, and the importance of these forums, structures. To the surprise of the CPA forums, today, they are being told that the officials that are under the current minister, Umamuti's visa, do not recognize these structures. And yet there's been no formal notification that was written to them as the forums. And they are not only getting negative attitudes from the officials. This is how it seems government treats its people. They've therefore requested on the chairperson to ask on the minister and the DG whom they've contacted in writing, and they have not received any response from the DG and the minister. Can you kindly Dr. Ramaswamy respond in terms of what is the status, therefore, of these CPA forums as of today. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thanks to the Honorable Members for the responses. I think in terms of the response to the first question by the Honorable Chair on the whether there are CPAs in virtue, the Honorable Deputy Minister has indicated that there are no CPAs in virtue that are registered. I think that's the first one. The second one that the Chair refers to, I will have to go into that matter because it's a serious matter. If there was recognition in terms of a particular forum, I don't think that the next level or even administration can disregard that recognition, Chair. That's how I would answer it in that way. I will check in terms of the mailings that came through, that issue that is referred to by the Honorable Chairperson, and respond accordingly to the Chair and also to the forum per se in terms of recognition. Thank you very much, Chair, on the two issues that I had to respond to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Ramaswamy. Officials of the department on the other issues.
Sir, can I just say something on Kwaju?
The Tadumaus, our Kabeze, our sister, the same for Allah.
Okay, that, okay, correct.
Thank you. Other officials of the department on the follow-up questions from the honorable members before we hand over to the deputy minister for closing remarks.
Thank you, honorable chair. Thank you, honorable and the honorable members. We noted the comments. We have already engaged with our legal services to follow up on the bill, and I think very soon we'll just report back to the DG and the Deputy Minister to the committee on the progress on the assessment of the bill. We just received the progress yesterday, an email around that. We are just hoping that be done very soon by this week. And then on the issue of clustering by Honorable Mansifa, we will obviously, when we craft our report, we will consider the clustering and identify it, because we have the information. It's a matter of packaging it nicely so that we cluster them, we categorize them. Those that are agricultural, that are for residential, we name them, and also what is happening on each one of them, and those that are best practices, we'll also identify those that we can learn from them as good CPAs that are well managed by us. Because there are those very, very well managed, very good CPAs that are doing their job perfectly. And I think the Deputy Minister will talk to Kwaju matter because he, according to the decision that was made after the last attempt to go to Kwaju, the Deputy Minister would be leading us to go back there and finalize the work that was started. Thank you very much, Honorable Shepherd.
Okay. Thank
you so much, Chair, once again, and thanks to all members and GM. I just want to make a comment. I think colleagues have already covered, there were more of proposals. I just want to indicate, maybe respond to how far we are with the report that is due. We are at a very advanced stage of finalizing the report. We will consider inputs from this meeting, depending on how far we can be able to integrate them, those that we can. But if not, then we may have to find a way to include them, even if it's not in that report, some, if ever it is too late, because there's compliance also in terms of when we should submit, and we won't want to delay the process. But the issues that have been raised will have to be addressed, whether they will be in the report or outside the report, but we will be able to address them. I just wanted to communicate to that fact in terms of where we are instead of our readiness for the report that is due for this year. Thank you so much.
Thank you, President Obey. Any other official of the department who may want to give further input, Dr. Sibape, before we hand over to the Deputy Minister?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I don't know whether I misunderstood you. You were talking about forums, and I didn't understand what do you mean by forum. But maybe I should just, because we had what we called CPA District Forum in the past. I think in the last report, there was a report on the District Forum. But in this coming report, there will not be any report on the District Forum, because much as the District Forum were meant to assist our CPAs, as a peer group, we realize that they don't really work properly, because some members who were part of the District Forum Committee, they ended up asking for stipend from the department, asking to be paid from the department to be part of. And it was just a good gesture that let us formulate this District Forum, and the CPA within the district will form some of the district, and they will learn from each other. That was the purpose of the District Forum. But now later on, we realized that actually some of the District Forum members are fueling the conflict in other CPA that they're supposed to have. It takes time, and they ended up confusing the CPA. But the last straw was they wanted to be paid by the department. When we said to them, look, it's for your own good. So we felt as a department that let's step back a little bit and not use them for now. Maybe rethink another strategy in how to use them. Maybe the way we implement them, the way we establish them was not the best. So for the past financial year, we do not engage any District Forum members, because there were a lot of infighting among themselves. Just saying, I heard you talk about forum. I'm hoping that you're talking about this, Chair. I just wanted to make a comment on that one, that we don't have them for now. They're temporarily suspended because of the problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Sibape. You are correct. It was the District Forum that I was speaking to. With that said, honorable members, let me then hand over to the Deputy Minister, the Honorable Bao Squatcha. As adjust your camera. We're only seeing your jacket, Honorable Squatcha. Just
and now?
It's going lower to your jacket. Bring it up. Thank you.
And now?
We can see you, DM. Please proceed.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I really want to appreciate the engagement and the comments. As I indicated earlier on, that they were hard-hitting, but only meant to make us better people to serve our country. And your own intervention, Chair, has indicated what is expected of us as we come back on these particular matters. I think we've all taken copious notes, and we will oblige.
There is no point of disagreement, really, that one would like to raise, except to emphasize the issues that have already been raised about the mountainous problems related to this particular area of work. And I really want to say again that these issues do arise because of the kind of history that we have and the greed that has visited many, many of our people. And so, Chair, thanks very much for this particular meeting. I think that we will definitely report to our minister about this robust engagement. As I conclude, I wanted to contextualize what I was saying about Kwajo so that you hear me well. It's a little bit of a long story, but I will summarize. Kwajo came to my attention as I arrived in the department. And at the time, it was brought into my attention by someone that I know very well. And he is not from Kwajo, he's from Mpumalanga. I gathered that at the time there was a lot of hostility towards an official of the department and our minister then. I got involved in trying to work and resolve issues. At the time, one of the issues, and I really do not want to venture into this, one of the issues that disturbs us with Kwajo is that whilst you are really trying to resolve the issues, it gets involved in the politics of the time. There has been constant visits into the area by political parties, including the then leader of the GA, Mr. Maimane. Now, what I was referring to when I was speaking about the difficulty of the people who call themselves ACPA, and what is being thrown around in relation to Kwajo is accusations against accusations. You will go there to people who say, we cannot be told what to do by people who stay in Pretoria. And in this regard, they are referring to people who call themselves leaders of the CPA of Kwajo. Then you will get some people from the Kwajo CPA, inverted commas, saying that the Chacho clan cannot tell us what to do. This is our area as well. We have engaged all parties. We don't ask for permission. We have engaged all parties. But what I was referring to is our meetings have been disrupted specifically by the group that calls itself CPA, to the extent that our officials reported to me that in order for that group to listen to them, they had to go and speak to members of parliament who belong to the Democratic Alliance to speak to those people because they seem to be having an ear from them. And really, they spoke to them, and then those people did listen to our officials. So the point is, what has now become in the last, as I was saying, that initially, Minister Nkunti and the like, I have observed through people telling me on Facebook last year, that I've actually become the most unfavorable person now there with members of this portfolio committee posting things about Deputy Minister Kwajo on Facebook and so forth and so forth.
Are you still with us here? They probably checked him on Facebook, Chair. anticipating a response, and it came from the correct benches. this is real sabotage. We seem to have lost the deputy minister, but it has been covered, honourable members, our questions and the follow-up questions. I must say that the Ramasodi and the officials of the department that are with us, what was lacking in the presentation was more of a detailed report into the provinces and each CPA status in those provinces. Perhaps in the next meeting we are to have, we will then request the department to zoom into each province and give us a detailed report per province on the CPAs that are in those provinces. Honorable members, this brings us to the end of our program for today. Let me thank you all the honorable members who availed themselves and were able to carry out the work of the portfolio committee. But most importantly, let's thank the executive of the department as represented by the honorable deputy minister, Ubau Skwacha, and the officials of the department led by the acting DG, Ntate Ramasodi, and all those that participated in the presentation of CPA that was put to us by Umakeba Ubauzu, and the input that we then received from the other officials was most valuable to us. We will, honorable members, do a follow-up on this issue. As I say, that we would like to get more detailed information on each CPA from all the provinces of the Republic. Let me also take this opportunity in reminding you that we do have a hybrid sitting today starting at 2 o'clock in the National Assembly. So we look forward to seeing you, those that will be in the House and those that will be joining virtually. I wish you a wonderful day ahead and a great week ahead. Please ensure that you continue to adhere to COVID pandemic regulations and wear your masks at all times and do sanitize at all given opportunities and adhere to social distancing. Stay safe and send our love to your loved ones. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Marshall.
Thank you, Chair. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, colleagues.
Thank you.